You realize you were talking to a journalist.
I'll tell you what, Fonzie. Since you're such an investigative reporter, you figure it out.
If I revealed my sources, you wouldn't talk to me.
Yeah, that'd be terrible.
Come on, Elliot. The public has a right to know a few things.
This is Two J's in a Pod. I'm Mary Ellen Murphy.
I'm Sarah Leach.
Say hi, Dirk.
Hi, Dirk.
It's all we get out of him. Jeez, I'm exhausted. I haven't showered in 3 days, and I'm not sleeping. And how are you doing?
I deep conditioned for the first time in a week, so I'm feeling fantastic.
You are okay. You deep. I just see the House has voted to censure the Texas Democrat who disrupted President Trump's joint address to Congress. Did you watch that at all?
Honestly, I did not.
Okay.
I find it very frustrating to watch those kinds of things. I like to read about it later because it sort of tones the stuff down because I end up getting... To me, this is just performative theater in politics, and it just rankles me, and it doesn't really matter if it's the State of the State address with Governor Whitmer or if it's the State of the Union with President Trump. I just don't like that kind of performative theater. It just hits me
the wrong way.
Yeah.
Did you watch Alyssa Slotkin, Senator Slotkin?
I did.
Okay.
I
thoughts? I've been wanting to talk to you about this all week, by the way.
I know. I have some mixed feelings about it. Like, I respect the fact that she's sort of trying to be a, why can't we all just get along? We all have things in common, but we need to do things in a certain way that obviously is opposed to the way that the administration is doing them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. In my circle, in my reporting, at least locally, I get this sentiment that everyone is very disappointed in the Democratic Party right now.
For sure.
In terms of what their response is to the current administration, like on all the levels, from the county to the state to the national party. And I kind of have that in the back of my mind going, why aren't they a little bit more fired up if their constituents are upset about things? And if they're upset about things, then why don't we feel that they're upset about things?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of, it's frustrating.
I'm seeing that, and a lot of people are saying, you know, where is the leadership in the Democratic Party? People are exhausted. They're scared. They're worried about what's, you know, possibly going to happen. And then I see that there were some Ottawa County commissioners who happened to be in Washington, D.C. this week.
They were there for a conference.
What was that all about?
They were there for NACO, which is the National Association of Counties, I believe is what the acronym stands for, which is interesting because the Ottawa Impact Commissioners, 2 years ago when we had the funding kerfuffle for the Department of Public Health and the whole Adeline Hambly fiasco, in the context of that going on, the Ottawa Impact Commissioners said, well, we should be questioning our affiliation with groups like NACO.
Oh my gosh.
Because they promote, you know, funding public health departments.
Right.
And now here we are. 2 years later, and they're, you know, living their best life, going to conferences.
Here's the thing. Okay. Jacob Bonomo took pictures, Commissioner Bonomo, and he stated that he was at NACO. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Allison Miedema's post did not say that she was at NACO. It said that she was in D.C. And the way that the post read, it made it look like they were actually, you know, in the same room as President Trump when he was doing a little cosplay in D.C.
I'm sure that they thought that they were.
I'm sorry. It was weird.
I mean, I guess it. I don't know if I will ever. I don't have a lot of hero worship because I find that heroes tend to fail us, like on all levels. Whether that's somebody in the entertainment industry, political people, even just industry people. I mean, people are fallible. So I never got caught up in that kind of hero worship sort of thing. I've met some famous. I've met some actors.
Haven't you?
I actually was walking in New York City, and this is, I was still in college, 20 years ago, and I asked somebody for directions because I was looking for a park, a local park, and I couldn't figure out the map. That was back in the olden days when we had maps, navigated like pirates,
right?
And so I just tapped this person on the shoulder, and this woman turned around, and it was Parker Posey, who is she's an indie actress, and she's been in a lot of films, and I just said, are you? And she said, yeah. And I said, huh. And I think she thought that I was going to ask her for an autograph,
and then
I just thanked her and walked away. And she's just like, that was the weirdest interaction with a fan who actually knew who I was.
Wow.
But didn't kind of do the thing that she was expecting me to do. So, yeah.
So that's why they were in D.C. I just thought it was kind of funny, though, that the way that the post read for some of the commissioners, I didn't know why they were there. And now we know it was the National Association of Counties. Who pays for something like that? It has probably budgeted into the county, right?
Yeah, because they have formal affiliations with with these groups. So I think that they provide some funding, but I think that the members also, you know, I'm sure that the county paid for the travel and the expenses and the lodging.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the organization puts on the conference.
Right. And then they'll come back and talk about what they learned and how that all went down. But it's just the news is coming at such a fast pace. I find that I'm just exhausted.
Always.
And I'm to the point now where I'm falling asleep sitting up in a chair. You're looking at me like, I get it. You have young kids. I don't. I have no responsibilities except for myself.
Well, that's why, again, like kind of going back to, you know, do you watch like the State of the State or the State of the Union and all of the, do I watch political debates? The answer is no, unless I'm covering them.
Okay.
Because I already know what they're going to say. I mean, they're saying all of these things out in the ether every day anyway. It's just a more polished, you know, way of presenting some of these things that to the people who aren't paying attention day to day. But if you're people like us who are paying attention day to day, there's nothing new there.
I'm having a hard time like trying to discuss things with people. If people say things to me that may, like, I have this friend that's constantly messaging me on Facebook, and some of the things that he says are not always appropriate, or they're just, it's just like, you know, oh, I threw away my Girl Scout cookies because Joe Rogan says they're poison, and just so stupid things like that.
Yes, Joe Rogan.
I'm so sick and tired of it.
Of our time.
Do you not think for yourself? Do you not have any critical thinking skills anymore?
I know.
He'll say really inappropriate things, and I'll just go laugh out loud, but there has to be a way to confront people when they say stuff like that.
Well, I mean, Joe Rogan, to me, I was exposed to him when he was a comedian.
Yeah.
He also was a commentator for MMA. I don't know how many
you can't see me rolling my eyes, but
yes, he would call fights for the mixed martial arts you know, a World Federation or whatever it is for many years. And that's how I got exposed to him. And then when he kind of got into this whole podcast thing and he's telling people, you know, about COVID vaccines and you know, the way that the world should be. In my mind, I'm still thinking from the prism of he's a comedian and he's trying to make things funny and entertaining. So I've never taken Joe Rogan seriously because I don't think we were supposed to. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly everybody started, you know, listening to him and making life decisions based on a person they've never met who doesn't have any credentials whatsoever to justify doing that.
It's really interesting.
It's really, yeah. I'm just like, you know, just because somebody shouts down the street something, it doesn't mean that you give them the attention and listen to their point of view. I mean, that's what a crazy person does.
One of the things that one of the things that some of the cable news networks are doing is they're talking about what's happening nationally, and then they're going to their local affiliates and talking about town halls, telephone town halls, all these different things, because people are very, very upset now, and they don't know what to do.
Yeah, I've seen the things, the protest at Bill Huizenga's office.
Yeah.
He's the 4th congressional U.S. rep. He represents the southern part of Ottawa County.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Skelton has the top portion.
Right.
But yeah, they've been protesting at his Holland office, and this is nothing really new.
No.
I will say that I have seen this in other iterations. I was the editor at the Holland Sentinel for well over a decade.
Yeah.
And it would just cycle through. He hasn't had a town hall since 2017.
Right.
I'm not sure why that's a specific talking point, because it's not like we really hear anything of value in those town halls anyway. They're very performative, like the other events that we've been talking about.
I think people want to be heard.
They're trying to point out, like, but he's not talking to us. He's not listening to us. I think that you might want to maybe refine that message a little bit and not just point to the fact that you just haven't been able to access him personally since 2017. Maybe you should start saying, well, you know, all of your constituents are saying this, or we have a contingent of people saying this, and do like a true show of force rather than a small collection every other day or so. I think you have to really show that you've got a big backing in the district so that it gets their attention.
Okay.
You have to be a disruptor in some way in order to really be effective.
You're right.
Just disheartening.
Well, I know.
I know people that, you know, who listen to this podcast and go, I'm not saying that their efforts aren't valuable. It's just that if you really want true change, you're going to have to get it to be bigger and to be more eye-catching.
I just feel like people only read a few lines of something and then they're off and running with whatever they think they saw. An example would be the Human Relations Commission last week here in the city of Grand Haven.
Oh gosh, yeah.
You know, talked about what is it, you know, what entails being a sanctuary city. They talked about DEI. Yes. All they did was talk about it.
Yeah.
That's all they did.
Yeah.
And somebody got a hold of the agenda, posted it, said that the city was going to have it at their council meeting. And, you know, it was like, that didn't happen.
I know. And I know that this is tied to, there was a local chapter of Indivisible, the group Indivisible. I don't know if you're aware of
them. I am aware of that.
Them, but yeah, you were there, weren't you? I thought that you were at that meeting.
I was not.
Okay, because Mac Davis, who organized it, he's a local rabble rouser.
Right.
He said that you were in the audience, and I looked for you, and I thought,
not.
Oh, I'm Mary Ellen. I can't.
He confuses me with someone else in town.
He just does.
So I was there, and they talked a little bit about this, and he did announce to the group that he was going to have coffee with Mayor Bob Menutza, and that he was going to ask that the city consider declaring itself a sanctuary city. Mm-hmm. I think that that is where that sort of, you know, the rumor plus what was potentially going to be considered formally in front of the Human Relations Commission in the city. It got a little mixed up, but I mean, everyone can calm down. This is we're not taking some grand stand against the government. That's not what this is. Yeah.
And it just turned into this big dumpster
it's more of
fire.
A symbolic sort of conversation. And it's, you know, and I don't think that it's any disservice to say that this is coming from the left.
Right. At the Grand Haven City Council meeting, it was interesting the amount of parents and just people in the community that spoke about Mary A. White School.
Yes.
They said some really interesting things.
Yes.
You know, the parents that talked about their kids walking to school and how important that is, you know, you take that for granted. And you want young people to move to this city.
Right.
If that school is not available, you're not going to have young people move to this city. I thought it was really interesting.
Right. Yeah. That one of the things that doesn't really get talked about, at least in the conversations that I've been a part of so far about Mary White, is that the city itself, the city center is gentrifying. So we're having, you know, retired couples who can afford the real estate prices that come along with city amenities in a downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, young families on the whole, unless they're pulling in really big incomes, are generally priced out of living in downtown.
Yeah.
And it's adjacent suburbs like Duncan's Woods and all of that. Mm-hmm. So they're living out in the township, which is where I happen to live because I can afford to live
right
there.
Right.
And you can get a little bit more bang for your buck.
Yeah.
Your car doesn't have to be a postage stamp. You don't have the taxes that tend to be higher in the cities versus the townships, etc. And so my frustration is I don't have childcare. I have to drive into the city to get childcare. I don't know who they think that they're catering to. They're converting this building into an early childhood center, but these people are still going to have to come from the township. So to me, that still doesn't make any sense. Why not put it in the township or one of the elementaries that's closer to the township?
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I'm not trying to get to undo the decision. I know that they're going to do what they're going to do. And
right.
I'm not trying to justify, don't close my school, close somebody else's school. Mm-hmm. That's not what to me, it just doesn't bear up to logic.
Okay.
But I will say that we received an email last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's very interesting that the superintendent has now sort of pushed the decision to convert Mary A. White to the school board, which is a little bit of a walk back from where we were a week ago.
Will the school board make a decision Monday?
I think that they will, and I think that they're going to reaffirm the decision. I think that this is, again, it's about optics, and it's about politics, and it's a little bit about performative theater, again.
Sure.
Where they want to allow the community to feel like they have had their say, and that this isn't the decision of just one person.
I see.
But that it's the decision of the body. I do think that that is in general a good idea, but I think that that's what should have happened first, and I don't think that undoes a lot of the emotional damage that this has done, and it really eroded trust with a lot of parents.
I think so too.
Yeah.
It feels like it did. It just feels like it did. You know, I know we talk about a lot of hyper local issues, but we talk about national issues as well because everything sort of bleeds in.
Right.
I was
all
thinking,
politics is local.
Well, it is, and I was thinking about the education department in FAFSA. That's how my daughters went to college.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here. And then and then you have people that'll say to you, oh, don't worry about it. Oh, no, he's just blowing. It's not going to happen. It's not going
to
happen.
Not according to the news alerts I saw today.
Yeah. Are you in denial or what?
Yeah. I mean, there's, again, I think that there's some credence to don't worry about it because there are some things that are so difficult to undo that we've seen this pattern with the administration over and over again, right? They make these broad sweeping declarations and some of it is according to law and rules and some of it is not. Mm-hmm. And then it's just lawsuits, 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 chaos, chaos, chaos. Some of it gets done. Some of it doesn't. Some of it gets done. And then they realize that it was a mistake. And then they got to call these people back that they fired. Mm-hmm. We're going to see that over and over again because it's just a general tactic to disrupt. It's less about saving the government money because we're spending just as much money now as we were before because we have to compensate for all of these radical changes that are happening within these organizations. So you have to compensate somewhere to make sure that the job of the government gets done.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens somewhere else. Just
right.
Because you laid off 6,000 IRS workers or whatever the case may be, people still have to get their taxes done. You still have to audit people. So it's just increasing workloads on other people. You're getting overtime for the people who are surviving some of these changes. It really doesn't change anything, but it's good optics.
I'm exhausted. I just can't. I get it that I'm in the thick of it. This is what I do for a living. It's what you do for a living. But if regular people who aren't journalists are telling me that they're exhausted, they're not sleeping,
yeah,
they're not eating.
Oh, I have the opposite problem.
Well, no, I eat my feelings.
Well,
yeah. I eat sweets is what I do. You know, I've got a box of Girl Scout cookies waiting for me.
I'm
and I don't care
girl.
What you say, Joe Rogan, I'm going to eat them. I didn't really have any news this week about the Ottawa County Board of Commissioners. Did you have anything?
Just that we got an update from the FOIA lawsuit that I talked a little bit about. I think that was last week or the week before where we had that judge who had a little bit of a backstory mm-hmm. of a problematic FOIA. Very interesting development in that case. So the judge finally issued an order. And the good news, at least from my journalistic heart, is that she is ordering the county to try to procure the records that were requested in two separate requests. One was in 23, one was in 24. They had to do with Ottawa impact majority decisions in two various meetings that were going on in those respective times.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the county has to go and approach these people, some of whom are not even in office anymore because they didn't win re-election. So that's not weird at all. And I'm sure that the answer will be, well, I don't have anything. Go pound sand. So I have zero hope that we're ever going to see any of these records. The interesting thing is that in that order to instruct the county to do that, the judge declared that even if a record could be identified that these officials have, it needs to be used in the furtherance of a decision by the public body,
okay,
which is not what the statute says.
Mm.
The statute does include the word use, but there's all of these other definitions. Was it procured? Was it written in furtherance of? Is it just part? Do you just happen to have possession of it, even if a decision wasn't based on it? This statute has been around for 50 years. And so that sent a red flag off in my mind. So then I called the general counsel for the Michigan Press Association and they said, hold our beer. What? This can't be allowed to stand. So then they commented on my story about it. And this is one to watch because I know that people, there's a lot going on and nerds like you and I pay attention more to transparency laws uh-huh. and that kind of thing. But we have seen in the Detroit News and the Detroit Free Press, the potential update to the Sunshine Laws and whether or not they're going to expand it into the governor's office
right.
so that you can, you know, FOIA for their emails and whatnot. It's important because we're seeing these decisions where judges are not really familiar with these laws because they're rarely used.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they're getting it wrong. Now more than ever, this is a prime example of why these laws need to be refined and revised to be more clear so that judges, when they're faced with these kinds of cases, know how to rule. Because now this just created an additional problem that actually didn't exist before.
You're right.
A couple of days ago.
Wow.
And now it's like splintering off in this other area. And I'm just saying, you know, what the French toast?
Wow.
I didn't need more problems around here.
Hey, you and I were asked to speak but at a university, but we don't have any details. And you, right away, you're like, yeah, I'll do it.
And I'm like, aren't you tired? I don't have time for this.
Well, time to spring break, though. So I actually am going to be in Detroit on that weekend. So
we're going to, you and I are going to be speaking.
So Cleveland ain't that far.
Cleveland State University, am I correct?
Yeah, which is like 3 hours.
So what is like it for? East. What is it for?
It's the regional conference for the Society of Professional Journalists.
Okay.
And they want to know how podcasting sort of fits in with modern day journalism.
Okay, so you and I are going to speak.
And we're going to pretend to be experts on this topic.
You drive and we'll road trip.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Because I can tell you're probably a really good driver. Are you a good road tripper?
I'm sorry. I just got flashbacks from Rain Man. I'm a driver. I'm an excellent driver.
I'm tired. I know. I'm sorry, the audience. We're tired. There's a lot going on right now. And at times, it's just you just want to pull your hair out, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess I look at every day and it's like you just kind of go off to war. But it's like that even in the non-controversial times. I've felt like that ever since I got married and had kids. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. it's just a different version of which battles you're going to face every day.
That's a good way to look at it. All right, well, I think we're done here.
Okay.
You want to go get your nails done?
They'll be damaged by the evening, so no.